All right. Welcome back to Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons real play podcast.
So, during the break, we talked to people about shopping and buying things. So, basically, when you guys are in a big enough city, and we'll talk a little bit about mechanics and stuff, what they have done is, Patton has bought some rituals. And what these are is that in 4E, all of the more like general utility magic-y stuff has been condensed into rituals, which are, you know, very specific application spells that you have to spend some components to use that do interesting stuff, like purifying water and doing yada 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 nonsense. You spend an amount of gold to learn it, and then every time you want to use it, you spend another amount of gold in magic components, which is just, you know, blanket magic shit that you need to use that. So, what all did you buy?
Well, Patton, he got Purify Water, Portend Weather, and Anti-Venom.
Nice.
The first two are rituals. Anti-Venom is a brew potion.
And of course, with Patton, the flavor for Patton, that's like, you know, you're buying more like physical gear and gadgets
filters,
and stuff.
Stuff like that.
Actually buying some, like, legit Anti-Venom and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you bought the recipe to make anti-venom, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, so. And then we've got some money, some residuum.
Yeah, yeah. It's listed as residuum is the catch-all magic components. You can play the game like psychopaths, where every single one of the components is different. So you have like a different component type for nature checks and different types of... That's for psychopaths.
Some say psychopaths. I say realism.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want in my fantasy universe. Meter management and realism.
You need bars to fill up.
Hey guys, do you want me to track in real time exactly how much miles per gallon the fucking car gets?
How about you don't do that?
Please.
We're gonna turn this podcast into that tabletop game that's just called like The Siege on South Africa that takes 4 actual years to play because you spend the majority of it like setting up your army base and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want this to be. It's going to be real theater of the mind.
Yeah, yeah.
That seems reasonable. So I'm not buying anything.
Yeah, they're mostly banking their stuff, which makes sense. So you guys are...
So we're taking, yeah.
You guys are walking on down and, you know, the city, as per the usual, is teeming with life. But you do notice that occasionally people kind of like give you a sideways look, like kind of a like oh shit sort of look. Kind of give you a wide berth.
Why is that?
That's a very good question.
How about is this insight again?
Maybe insight or streetwise.
I'm a roll streetwise on this.
I'll roll insight.
I'll be insightful.
I got a
13.
13 total.
13 total?
19 total.
Nat 2.
Alright. So, what John can tell, this is the same sort of look that you get when somebody... Like, before you were just nobodies. Now it looks like people think that you're with somebody. Oh wait, what was Red saying? Oh yeah, looks like people know who you are now.
I suppose the word spread pretty quickly there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of having a television show.
Well, yeah, that too. If
I've done that.
When Red
That's
just
right. Has the first issue, I guess, episode come out yet?
Oh yeah, but this is the first that people are hearing now of like the crew that Red is establishing to go do some big thing that he's being pretty secretive about. Is these random dudes.
Okay, so we're walking down the street giving finger guns to everybody, like, watch out.
Yeah, people are kind of looking at you with, like, a, like, kind of sizing you up, and as well kind of like, what's so special about these guys? Like, they're wondering what's so sketchy about, like, what's so scary or cool about you guys that you would get hired to do this sort of thing.
They don't know how good we are at fighting crabs.
We're pretty fucking bad, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
hey,
Elias.
We don't know how good they don't know how good John is.
Stop typing or I'll fucking break your fingers.
Who's typing?
Someone is. I'll kill you. I'll leave that in. I don't give a fuck.
As a warning.
So are we you guys are
the college.
Yes, can I head I'm assuming. College? I'm assuming you are. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna give my bag to John to hang on to, but I'm gonna take out the letter. I'm not gonna ask him. I'm just gonna hand it to him.
I suppose that's fair.
I mean, I wouldn't even think of asking him. So I'm gonna take the letter and my dummy, my fake book, to show to the college dean.
I am right behind you. I don't want to miss this.
And so I'm just gonna march straight up to the dean's office.
Okay, so you walk through the gates. They don't stop you. Like at first, one of the guards goes like, you know, halt. The other one kind of like slaps him a little bit. Like no.
Yeah. I'm gonna give him a little bit of a smug look.
So,
a stain on the ground from that thing that I left?
Oh, absolutely, that is still there. So, out of the front gates of the main building of one of the main buildings, comes crashing out, sprinting at high speed. Oh, look, it's Manway.
Oh,
he's just sprinting up at you.
Oh, hey,
Elias.
Yes, that's
what
me.
Did you do?
Well, I mean, that's a bit of a loaded question. I've been doing a lot of things recently.
Yeah, no shit. Good.
Well, look,
you're going on some sort of crazy expedition further than eight. Like, what the fuck?
The hell? Well, science calls for sacrifice.
Nobody has been able to get funding to go that far out.
Yes, well, nobody isn't me.
Gee,
holy that cow.
That bit hasn't changed. That's good to know. Anyway, look, and he kind of leans over, looks at. So this is all your friends, right?
Yes. This is
nice to meet you. I'll do my own introduction. Thank you. It's just let me have this.
Oh well, all right then.
Greetings, gentlemen. My name is Manway Olival, head of archaeology at the university here.
Dr. Normstrom, and I'll shake his hand.
Ah, a fellow doctor.
Gorgrick Bricksmasher. Please, call me John.
Nice to meet you, John.
Deliberately interrupting him.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. I'm sorry. You're from the congregation, aren't you?
That's right.
Fascinating. I'll have to talk to you in a minute. And you are, sir?
Jeron Thalatak, but you, sir. You can call me Jerry.
Right, yes. Nice to meet you.
Well, now that we've got introductions out of the way, Manway, I've got something to talk to you about in short order.
Yeah.
Is the dean around, Mr.
Oh, he is furious.
Oh, I imagine he is.
No, he's secretly furious. He's going to put on a big show of being, like proud or whatever, but he is so mad.
Oh, I can't wait. Well, let me fill you in on the basic plan. So, do I need to elaborate this to him, or do you just want to save some time?
Yeah, just, He kind of looks at you. Take me with you.
All right. Gentlemen, Jerry...
No, I mean, like, on the trip. Can I at least go with you to Little Rock? I've been wanting to go out there for forever, and now I finally have a decent excuse.
I don't see why not.
Thank you.
As long as everyone else here doesn't have a problem with that, I could always use another hand with my research.
I've been trying to convince them to let me go out there to study the congregation for a long time, and I haven't been able to get the funding yet. But if I'm tagging along with you guys, they won't be able to say no.
Now, you say study the congregation. You're interested in learning about Jesus? So I can tell you all about our Lord and Savior.
Oh, please do. In a minute.
Well, first things first. Let's go pay the dean a little visit.
Oh, yes. And he looks so happy about this.
I got a big old smug look on my face, but I'm going to quickly wipe it away and try and look contrite to, I don't know, beaming with newfound innocence and love for nature as I...
you were looking as elf as possible.
So, my way is going to go. Excuse me, Dean Talney, Elias and I are here to speak to you. You see him kind of open the door. Slowly. Elias. How nice to see you.
I'm gonna grab his hand with both hands and shake it and just say, I am so sorry.
Wait, what?
Please take a seat. We have so much to discuss.
Certainly.
And I'm going to sit down, and then I'm going to take out my manuscript, the book, The Sublime Beauty of Nature.
So, Dr. Adahome, I do have to apologize for our previous interaction.
No. It was such a long time ago for me. I've seen so much since then. It sounds cliche coming from me, but I am a changed man. What I saw on this journey was, well, nothing short of magical. I'm sorry, this is hard for me to do, keeping a straight face in real life. the birds, the fish in the stream, the light as it bounces off of the lakes, it was so beautiful.
Bluff check.
Okay. Oh man, my bluff is awful too. I mean, I spent time on this fake book and I've got Jerry here to back me up. So
bluff check.
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Alright. You look over at Varius, and his look of, like, you know, distress has now faded away into a look of smug self-satisfaction. Well, you see, I knew that you would come around once you actually saw the beauty that is present in nature.
Yes, yes, that's it exactly.
Six was good enough.
He's just such a...
No, he just rolled like a nat one on insight, probably.
It's like you've always been saying, there's something sublime, something truly wondrous that it's just my previous blunt manner of study could never capture. Please look at my notes. You must see.
Oh, I would be
there.
Delighted to.
I hand him the notebook. It is full of like the worst. Like, if you've ever read The Lord of the Rings, the poems and songs from the elves, and like flowery script. It's all in cursive.
He's looking at it in rapt attention.
And we've been. I showed this to Red, and he gave me this letter. He was so taken by the hereto unseen natural beauty of this world that he almost demanded that I continue this research.
I had heard of the letter, but I didn't think it was for this. I thought it was far more unpleasant circumstances. Though I'm very glad to see, you know, really, and I apologize for having to do that, but it seems that by pushing you away from the academy and letting you truly grow on your own, I believe
yes.
You can be capable of amazing things.
I have seen the light.
Elias' teeth are just fucking grinding as he's saying that.
There's just so many animal friends out there.
Oh my god! Oh, it's
the final fucking slug. Get out of my podcast. Get the fuck out.
It's gonna be subtle.
You
guys
have been waiting for 3 hours to drop your fucking weeaboo anime kimono ass bullshit into this podcast.
I told you it was coming. I believed it. So many animal friends out in the world to discover. And I simply must, capture their beauty in a way that only elven poetry can portray.
I understand completely. He opens up the window behind...
God.
Behind him, he holds out his hand, a small bird flies onto it, he whispers to it, sends it away.
Whispers, I love you, bird.
He has a radio on his table. I've just sent word.
Oh, fuck.
I've just sent word. We would be honored if you would continue this research officially.
Thank you so much, Dean. I won't let you down. When this book is finished, I assure you the results will astound you. You'll be speechless.
To that end, actually. Well, I do believe that some form of advance is... well... necessary, as well as a means of apologizing. Here. And he reaches underneath his table, kind of opens something. Here. And he puts a bottle on the table. Here is one of our finest vintages.
Vintage, what is it? Wine?
It's like an 100-year-old or so wine. Elven wine.
It's called Elf Duesh.
Yes.
I will treasure this.
Yeah.
Can I check his insight to see if that's poison?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't think it's
poison. Is this something that looks like it's worth a lot of money?
Oh, yeah.
That's a 2 on insight, so...
You don't know shit about Elven Wine,
man. Okay, I'll roll
man.
Insight to see. I mean, I feel like I've got him going,
I was gonna wait until after the conversation, but I need to know if this man is believing what he's saying.
Alright, hold on, what's my insight? Alright, that's like a 12.
12? Like yeah, it's pretty expensive. This guy is, like, an open book.
Okay, so he's just eating the shit up.
He's eating the shit up.
All right.
He's eating it with a spoon.
I'm going to take it with both hands and sort of look over the label and grip it and then place it gently into my bag.
I thought you were about to say grip it and then sip it.
No. I'm not going to open it right in front. Are you crazy?
A little bit.
Mean...
Thank
What's
you.
The worst that could happen?
Thank you, Dean. I won't let you down.
Next episode, Elias lets the Dean down.
To that end, I've got Jerry.
Please,
is going to help document to add another layer of realism to the.
Yes, his wonderful program.
Oh, don't worry. I've shown him the wonders of nature, and he has agreed to keep this separate from his regular programming.
I see.
Yes, he's right. Wonderful. I've chosen to coordinate my filming of nature into a completely different series that won't air live like my regular show does.
Yes. Wonderful.
It'll be a lot quieter, a lot calmer, a lot more elven for you guys.
I like the way he says elven.
He kind of looks over. Yes. Good. So, I wish you all the best of luck. Of course, we will also be in touch as much as we can. We can,
yes.
Certainly,
Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
If we ever, come across things that we think should, help you, we do have some research into the realm of survival equipment and things like that, which you should be needing, magical supplies and such. We can send them your way
that
when we can.
Most appreciative.
Yes.
As one final note, I believe my colleague here, Mr. or Doctor, I'm sorry, Doctor.
Yes.
Manwe would also like to accompany
Dr. Olivol. Don't fucking forget your friend's name, you piece of shit.
I didn't forget. I said called him Manwe.
That's his first name.
Whatever.
Dr. Olivol.
Dr. Olivol.
Dr. Olivol.
Doctor.
Fucker.
Paging Dr. Olivol. Dr. Olivol would also like to accompany me to the, at least for the first part of my journey.
Yes. He was saying about how he would like funding for that expedition.
Yes.
And he just kind of looks over. He looks at the sealed, notarized letter. Just. Certainly. Where? Yes. Certainly. Though, Dr. Olivol, I do expect a very fruitful report, then, of course. He, you know, Manwe kind of gives him a little grin. Just, don't worry. I think this is going to be plenty interesting. Come on, let's get out of here.
Thank you so much for your time, Dean. I realize we were intruding in your very, very busy schedule.
Yeah, thanks, Varius. And he leaves.
Door shuts. Are we out of earshot?
Yeah. Though I do believe that, John, did you want to roll an insight check on seeing if he believes what he's saying or something?
Yes. 17.
Again, open book.
Jesus.
Tone is so far up his own ass that he eats the shit up.
Nice. So we're out of earshot, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we are going to fuck him so hard.
Oh, this is fun. Oh, I just imagine how mad he is right now at his desk. He doesn't know whether to be mad at me or so happy that you've seen the light. Did you see? We have radios, right? Why the hell is he still using that animal messenger ritual?
He probably thinks it's more pure and connected.
It's more elegant. You can't just give a factual report. It needs to be an elegant report. Fucker.
I am going to grind him into dust.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Oh. Well, that about settles it for me, gentlemen. I'm going to reflect on this moment for a while, so if you have anything you'd like to take care of, feel free.
Well, I'm ready to head out when you guys are.
Manwe, let's pop this thing open a little bit later.
Certainly. How exactly were you guys planning on getting there, by the way? I assumed that you had a plan.
Something about a train, a car. I'm not sure.
Oh.
I'll give you all the details later. Let's see. Anyway. It's best to leave it as a surprise.
I see. Thank you.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you anyway.
Really?
Really?
Well, belief is my field of expertise, so.
Alright, yeah. So we're going to Red's car and all that, because I already bought all my stuff. We got all of our residual.
So yeah, you're going back to the so you guys actually you pull up out in front of the you leave the academy and you see the car parked out there. Red is sitting in the driver's seat. He kind of gets out, leans on top of the hood, looks at you guys. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I can see it on your face.
There's no words. It's just grinning and hey.
Oh. That's Dr. Olivol, right?
Yeah. Yes. He'll be joining me on my journey of enlightenment.
I'm visibly like weirded out by how much joy Elias is getting from this.
So
I'm loving it.
So, is he going with you guys or something like that? I mean, it makes sense.
The first part of the journey.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, he's a pretty nice guy.
How does Manwe react to Red calling him a pretty nice guy?
He walks over to Red, just kind of gives him a hand wave. Red kind of gives him a hand wave back.
Wait, so they know each other?
Yeah. They seem to be cool.
That's interesting.
I'm waiting for the part where Dan starts talking to himself.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. But but yeah, man. Oh, God, I do kind of have to do it. Fuck, I hate this bit. But yeah.
I could be Dr. Manway. I'll even put on a different voice you've never heard before. Guy Humano.
Fuck that shit. But,
deepest lore.
Ah, Red. Nice to see you again. Wait. Is he coming to, like, pick you guys up specifically? Is he driving you guys there? Is that the big surprise?
I don't think Red was driving us so much as letting us use the car? Something?
Wait, he's letting
That's
you.
Right. We oh, jeez.
Wait, does anyone here know how to drive?
I do. Wait, you guys didn't think about this, did you? Red, you didn't think about this, did you? He kind of shrugs.
Can't imagine it's that difficult.
I don't want to imagine John driving.
I'll drive.
All right. I've worked with Red a couple of times before. For some things.
Question.
Yeah, we go back a bit. No, not really.
Oh, okay.
All I can think of is John driving, like that episode of Dragon Ball Z where they got the driver's license.
That happened, huh?
All I can think of is Grandpa got the car keys.
Grandpa got the car keys.
Yes, Grandpa found the car keys.
I'm just thinking of a big orc getting into a car and just shoving his foot through the bottom of the floor trying to hit the gas pedal.
Anyway, you also see people occasionally walking by will just, like, kind of wave hello to Red. He waves back at them.
Could I feasibly use my magic to make the car drive itself?
No!
What?!
Okay, this would be a great opportunity to show exactly what mana can and cannot do.
Alright.
Like, sure, a self-driving carriage, like a self-driving wooden carriage and things, sure, but trying to teach a magic spell how to operate a clutch, like, that's getting into complexity that is way beyond what it would be reasonably be able to do.
Oh, yeah. We could put the car in neutral. It would be very similar to a carriage.
Oh, God.
All the mechanical bits.
I'm just saying, you're spinning wheels.
One of the thing that you notice when he's walking around is that most people, like, you guys have just seen him because you're working with him, but most people are more or less relaxed around Red. Like, you know, people are, like, shop owners are just, like, yelling at him to come buy stuff. Some people are, like, telling him to go drinking with them another time.
Hmm.
Things like that. Inviting him out to do things. He says he's busy.
Hmm.
But for the most part, it's...
People are amiable.
Yeah. He seems kind of just, like a likable celebrity that's just kind of rolling around.
Which is different from how they were treating him when he was in his giant stadium as a dragon with all his gold around him.
Well, yeah, that's... Well, those people specifically were people who were trying to work with him. Who were trying to, you know, get something from him.
Okay.
Right?
Or who are there in, like, an official capacity and you don't want to meet Red in an official capacity.
Yeah, kind of.
This makes sense to me.
So, he's kind of holding up the keys. Were you guys thinking of leaving right now, or did you still have some more things to do? I was just going to come pick you up, but, well, we don't exactly have enough seats anymore, I don't think. Actually, no. Nope, we don't have enough seats.
Whoa, wait a second. There's four in the back, and then him in the front, right?
There's three back seats, two middle seats, and two forward seats. Yes.
So seven.
So that's seven.
Yeah. There aren't enough seats.
Is
you again? Kobold's
coming with us.
Kobold, and now there's another kobold. In one of the back seats. They wanted to go for a ride.
We could always tie last to the hood.
Is that John's attempt at a joke? Good one. I'm going to say good one, John, and pat him on the back. Because he's obviously joking.
Look, no, that was me joking. I was going to take... We were taking them shopping. It, right around this spot anyway. I was going to leave you guys the car. So, one of the side doors open, you see a kind of like a brownish scaled kobold kind of hop out, scamper over to Red. The other door isn't opening. It's like, Emily, come on now. She doesn't want to get out of the car.
Oh no.
He kind of starts muttering what Elias recognizes as Draconic.
Oh, okay.
Like, she kind of chatters back at him. I can't do Draconic.
Okay.
I don't know what that even fucking sounds like. They're kind of chattering back
it's
at each
a bunch
other.
Of clicks.
It sounds Hooli like Hooli general scales.
Fuck off.
I saw it coming, but it's still so fucking good.
Ink Chuck Rock Rock Krazoa Palace.
We were all thinking it.
Motherfuckers. But he kind of gets out of the door, kind of puts his arm up on top again. She wants to go with you guys and is very adamant about it.
Really?
Well, yeah. She says that you guys... Yeah, you gave her food or something and now she really likes you guys.
Is that safe?
No. Not in the slightest. Look, it'll take a second for me to convince her.
We can't take the kobold with us.
Yeah. However,
it's too dangerous.
Yes. So, it'll take a second for me to convince her. Just wait just a moment. More chattering. She kind of reluctantly opens the door, looks over at you guys, sadly walks over to Red.
Duh.
He chucks Manway the keys, and we grab
them. Does Manway catch the keys?
He attempts to. He holds his hand up, like, you know, for the no-look grab. They kind of bounce off of his hand, clatter. He kind of just looks at him like, come on, man. The Manway looks a little bit flustered, like, scampers back, grabs the keys. All right.
Manway wants to be cool.
Let's get going, guys.
Yes. Oh, I don't have anything more to do, so if you would like to drive, Manway, that sounds quite agreeable to me.
Yeah, it's going to take us a bit to get to wherever we're going, which you guys still haven't told me, but...
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, my man.
Wait, what?
We're going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to meet the Steel Drivers.
So all the doors are closed. The hell did you just say?
Wait, is everybody in the car now?
Are you all in the car?
I got in the car.
He's taking the car.
I'm going to rush into the car and get in his ear. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to meet the Steel Drivers. Let's go.
Fun. Oh, this just got a lot more fun.
Don't worry. They know. All right. It's okay.
It is?
Buckle up for safety.
Who are the Steel Drivers?
some people I did some work for back in the day.
You worked for them?
Yeah, some PI work, some fluff stories.
Oh, jeez. Well, at least they don't hate us.
I mean, not yet. Just kidding. Let's go.
Alright. Yeah, it'll take us a little bit to get out of New York. While we're stopped anywhere, I can teach some of you guys how to drive, whoever wants to, as well. It's not that hard.
See what I tell you.
No.
Okay. Well, that's not in character, but
yeah. I definitely want to learn.
Yeah, yeah. So
can't be that. I'll take a go at it.
I'm not really interested.
Yeah, you guys start driving along. Elias, so...
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, adventure. I've done a couple of these sort of things before. You know, he's looking in the rearview mirror, or are you in the passenger's, like, the front passenger seat?
If Manway's driving, I'd be in the passenger seat.
Okay. But, well, you see, you probably looked up, you know, when you were, you know, like, learning more about the place, this place in the 2 weeks that you were here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably heard about trains and things like that, other forms of transportation, like the car that we're sitting in right now.
Big metal carriages of some sort.
Yeah. Basically, think of them like rogue artificers. They're unpredictable is the thing. They're really interesting because they're trying to emulate the styles and customs of the humans that lived here before. They're a bunch of disaffected youths.
I mean, that seems
they're throwing away
far
like
out of the ordinary to me.
Throwing away their like old elven and orcish names and things in favor of nicknames and call signs and aliases that relate to some field of expertise of theirs. Primarily, they're interested in forms of mass transportation as a means of smuggling goods. People, occasionally, from what I've heard, and are known to obtain their funding in whatever means that they deem necessary, as long as they deem the people that they're taking the goods from as people they don't like. And their list of rules for such a thing are, well, they don't exist, because they aren't actually a real group. In the same way that, well, basically, anybody can call themselves a highwayman, anybody can call themselves a steel driver, as long as you get a train running.
That's a mighty interesting comparison.
Yeah, that's about the tall and short of it.
Oh, I mean, doesn't seem too out of the ordinary. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, plus, man, we're on the good side. Or rather, their good side.
Are you? Are all
you're
of us?
Good side.
I don't know if we count.
And I can vouch for you guys. I mean, none of you have ever tried to backstab me yet, so I think we're going to be just fine when we get there.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't piss them off.
Oh, well, that's not really up to me.
That's reassuring.
This entire time, the car is, like, jolting as me and John are taking turns trying to learn how to drive this fucking car.
Yeah, yeah. So, montage sequence of attempting to learn how to drive on, like, you know, straightaways and things like that. You know, you're taking a pretty straight route across I-78. Do-do-do. Here you guys go. Here's that route. This is more or less the route you'd be following. You could also go up I-80 to I-99. Yeah, in terms of interesting scenery along the way, since you're mostly just, you know, driving along, you see that the further out west you get, right, as you start going a bit, the less clear roads and such are. So you do occasionally have to, like, jump off of the highway onto an old, less used, local road to then get back on when a, you know, like, something like a big truck is overturned that nobody's cleared off yet. Also, of note, what you know, Giron, is that typically, not much is going on in Pittsburgh. That's good, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty shady area.
Right.
Yeah. In terms of areas of industry, mostly things along the north coast, like the northern route into New York is the stuff that people are mostly actually settled in. So, you know, like, places like Toledo and Cleveland have some amount of legitimate activity in them. But Pittsburgh is one of the spots that's kind of been taken over by the Steel Drivers and some other just less scrupulous groups, right? But primarily them. It's kind of one of their main bases. Basically, you're going into, an Old West style gang town, kind of. In an old outlaw town.
Okay.
Right? Jeez. So, driving along. Is there anything in particular that anybody is looking for while you're driving?
Interesting nature stuff out the window.
That's okay.
I'm looking for nature.
Yeah, I'll see if there's any...
Let's see, so where would we stop going from frequented areas to... Or is this whole section here still pretty commonly traversed?
Yeah, this is still pretty commonly traversed. This is less of a, you're in frontier country, and more of a, bad part of the general area. Okay. Right? You aren't going to be running into any, real dead zones in terms of mana or anything like that up and in this point. Basically, once you start getting west, a decent bit west of Detroit, that's when stuff starts to get rough.
Okay.
In that sense.
That's when people start to stop going out on those expeditions.
Right. And notably, Little Rock is pretty far out there. In terms of, interesting nature things, there's plenty of stuff to take notes on. There's, what you would recognize as some, old types of trees that are now, bearing different types of fruit. Either some people have grafted things onto them, or they've naturally, adapted and formed new weird hybrid species. Okay. You do see the occasional deer, just regular ass deer.
Okay.
Which are fairly uncommon this far out, but yeah, you do see a couple of just deer, non-magical in any way, that seem to be doing just fine.
They're completely non-magical, as in the mana.
Yes.
I'm not sensing any mana from them at all.
None whatsoever. I mean, you can't really tell just by looking at them, but. You had heard about, and probably seen, at least on some basic expeditions, a couple of them. It's hard to tell just by looking which ones aren't.
Is there, if we stopped the car, would there be any way for me to get close to them?
Yeah, probably.
If you want to stop the car and check out this deer.
I mean, if they're completely non-magical, as far as I can tell, then yeah.
Alright.
Who's driving right now?
Manway,
just a moment, if you could pull over for just
yeah, sure.
Second.
Sure, what's up?
There appear to be some completely non-magical, what looks like deer off in the clearing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to take a sample? Or a specimen, if you can.
If possible, I'd like to take a quick sample.
Yeah, sure. Just be careful. They're kind of flighty, and as well, you can't really use any sleep spells or anything like that on them. But I don't think any of you guys are so inclined to begin with. Right?
Right. Patton, you wouldn't happen to have any sort of knockout dart or quick death dart or anything like that?
Quick death dart? It's a little more sophisticated than that, but I believe I have something that can help us.
I got your quick death dart right here. Saddle up, boys. We got us some nature to catch.
John, that won't be necessary. I do like my specimens in one piece. All right, I'm gonna ask Patton to see if he can get a shot on one of the deer.
So pull the car over and kind of like a just off the side of the road, we see the
deer. Yeah, it's staring at you as deer tend to do. You know, like you see it a bit down below you in a little bit of a clearing off of the highway. Yeah, it looks like a decent-sized buck.
All right, I'm gonna kind of rummage around a bit. I'm gonna. I had my crossbow lying, you know, like on the floor or something inside the car. I didn't want to carry it on my back, so I'm gonna go ahead and grab that. I'm gonna kind of search around in one of my satchels. It's not in there, not in there. Set the doctor's bag down, open it up, kind of fish around. Ah. Here it is. Kind of tinker right in there. Take aim. This is Dr. Patton's patent-pending peaceful paralyzer. I'm going to shoot it right at the deer.
All
right,
nice. Arcana check.
Wait, Arcana?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. I got a plus 10 in Arcana.
Yeah.
I got a 26.
26? It launches right into the thing. And it just... It's standing up. It's looking at you.
Falls over.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go... do the other ones run off?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this deer male or female?
Male. It's a buck.
So it's got... How many
points?
Yeah, how many points?
Oh, geez. Some hunter is going to get mad at me. I don't know shit about that. Yeah.
It's like a 10.
Yeah.
10, that's crazy.
I mean, hey.
Well, I don't know that, but whatever. Okay, so I'm going to saunter on up to it.
Yeah, I don't know when deer shed their antlers.
In fall?
Because this is April.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't imagine they would shed them in spring.
Yeah.
I mean, we got us a biologist in the group. You think he'd know?
I don't know anything about non-magical deer.
Okay, so... I just Googled it because I have to fucking Google it. It wouldn't have any antlers. They would have fallen off by this point. Yes.
Okay. Well, so I'm gonna go up to it and first I'm going to extract some blood with a syringe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'll just hand you a syringe.
Yeah. Then I'm going to check the mana field around it just intuitively.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Anything?
So you're trying to. So, what you're noticing is, like, based on. So, roll me some nature for inspecting this thing.
All right.
Want me to roll it as well?
Yeah, sure. 12. If you want
to, I have plus 12 in nature.
Yeah, if you want to help out.
Step aside.
That is 20.
20 total.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll let you have this.
So, as you're inspecting it, what you notice is. Ordinarily, when you would be looking at a creature like this, you'd be able to figure out how it works, and you know it would make sense where its energy is coming from. You could kind of, you know, sense that moving around and things like that. This feels more like you're dealing with a biological robot. Like,
huh?
Like this thing just feels weird.
So I have no idea how it's alive.
I mean, you can kind of tell, but. So the thing is that you don't really know how it, like, you still don't really know how it lives without mana.
Hmm. So,
like, all of its things are working, but you're not entirely sure how.
Well, alright. I guess I'm going to keep examining it. I'm going to take a blood sample and then... Let's see, what else do I want? I don't think I'm going to kill it. I'm not even sure how I would do that.
I was just about to ask, Elias, are you planning on killing the deer, or do you need its anything more than its blood, or...
I think we'll...
I'm not sure what exactly you need.
I mean, I don't think he can open
it
up.
Would they have, like, little nubs or something for horns?
What? Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I mean... We could take a fur sample, a little bit of hoof.
Yeah,
deers have hooves, right?
Yeah.
Yes. They're ungulates or whatever.
Yeah, so I'll take whatever samples I can. I don't think I'm going to kill this
one
right now.
There's no reason to kill the deer. So we'll go ahead and, you know, get some horn bit, you know, kind of shave it off a little bit, get some fur, get some blood.
You have successfully studied deer.
Cool.
Deer sample.
Do, 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 do.
Deer journal update.
You can now develop the deer shank.
Deer yes.
Shank. I don't
get it. So.
Football is a sport.
Go Packers.
So, other than that, though, you, this thing just seems like, from our understanding, imagine if you saw a deer running around without a heart, right?
Right.
It was still perfectly capable of moving, but you basically just didn't feel a pulse from it. That's what this thing is like. This thing defies all of the rules that you've been taught.
Well, I'm going to take a ton of notes on this.
Mm-hmm.
And the weird thing is it's pristine, right? There's no...
Yeah.
It hasn't been affected by mana?
Oh, no, it has been a little bit, from what you can tell. Like, it looks like, you know, there's a little bit... You know, like you're looking around, you feel some mana on it, but none in it.
That's really weird.
It's really peculiar that the old humans died pretty much instantaneously due to magic, but the wildlife hasn't.
Are you saying that in character?
Yes.
Manway is going to chime in. He's kind of standing over by the car. Elias, now would actually be a pretty good time for a theory of mine I wanted to bounce off of you.
Yes. Go right ahead.
So... I'm pretty certain, or at least I'm formulating, that mana to us and to other creatures has something to do directly with some form of capacity for intelligence.
I suppose, but...
To put it this way, it seems to me, from what I've seen, that... So, you've seen these computers that they have, right?
Yes.
Those transform electricity into code, into an executable action, right? You type something into a computer and it does something. The alternative is just pure electricity with no information built into it inherently.
I mean, I suppose... I don't really know much about electricity or computers, but it seems small.
I think that the energy that they work on is some form of like raw energy, and mana has purpose in some way. I don't quite know how. That would be your field of study, but mana kind of tells things what to do.
I can think of a few problems with that idea off the bat.
Right. I don't have much better to work with, though.
I think what we're going to need to see is creatures that have adapted from native non-magical creatures into sort of magical hybrids to see how that interaction works. And I'm going to stand up from the deer and start heading back to the car.
All right. So, you get back in the car. Is anybody else doing anything on the way there?
Oh, hey, Adel, I had a theory of my own, too. So, you know, back where you guys came from, sounds like everything ran unmanaged, like we do. Everything had mana, just like these creatures do here, except that one over there don't have no mana. Maybe we just can't check it. Maybe they have an alternate mana. We just can't feel it, because we ain't from here.
So you're suggesting that they have mana, but a different variant?
Yeah, something like that.
You'd think then that it would have some sort of interference with our mana, or if...
Well, no, actually, it does, though. They aren't receptive to standard magical spells and effects. That could be the case.
Neutral is different than a negative.
That's true.
If that were the case, we would expect some sort of interference from their... whatever you call it, alternate mana with our mana, but it seems that the interference only goes one way.
Right.
Well, I mean, I don't think we've ever dealt with an alternate kind of mana before, so I think it's possible.
Something like that?
Are there any records of magical use?
I mean, it would need to be a different kind of magic. We would need to requisition some highly, well, taboo texts from the Academy and perhaps from Red directly, but it's something to look into. After this trip, I'll look into that and get back to you. Because presumably it's going to take you a lot longer than my trip.
There was one place that I read of back when I was doing my PI work down in the southwest where they had a whole bunch of magic shows and these humans paid a lot of money to go see them.
And he kind of looks over at you, kind of stops the car, grips the wheel. No, 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 that's a completely different thing. I'm sorry, Elias. I'm going to rant for a bit. Is that okay?
This is one of the myths that Manway's already busted.
Yes. Look, I suppose you're the sort of person who still thinks that all of the random groups of five people who find some golden idol are actually worshipping some old deity. No. What you're talking about are magic tricks. And it's very interesting that humans had a conception of magic, and there are even records of elves that match our description, and of dragons, which is incredibly interesting. However, what you're talking about is simple optical illusions and sleight of hand, not actual magic. Ah.
I'm just going to be kind of wide-eyed and just slip back into my seat.
Manway's getting frustrated.
I'm sorry, but I apologize, but this is what I've had to deal with for the last 60 years.
He stopped the car and everything.
Yes. He wouldn't be able to drive straight in his blind rage. And he kind of...
Alright.
Starts driving again. But no, you see, there's plenty of misconceptions about these sort of things. People see the word magic in old human texts and constantly run up to my office to tell them about their amazing new discovery. I constantly have first-year students thinking that they're going to get an honorary PhD for finding some form of magic that old humans did when it was just like a wrist-mounted flamethrower that they just claim is magic. Or they bring me a tape of some escape artist busting out of a cage underwater for the 30th time. It's the same one. And they claim that he was a magician and he just teleported. I cannot count the number of times I've had to tell some wide-eyed student that they're actually an idiot.
Well, in their pursuit of knowledge to find the truth, I don't think anyone's truly an idiot.
I disagree, but let's agree to disagree. You're talking to two very snooty elves.
I'm gonna like suddenly realize that I'm talking to elves and just kind of get
at this point, I think me and Manway would both simultaneously say, "Oh, there's no stupid questions."
Questions, right? No, there are stupid questions. Anyway, sorry. So anyway, would anybody like to put on some music, by any chance? This thing that Red has here is fairly nice. Built-in stereo and everything. I think he has some CDs up here. He likes the retro stuff.
Radio stations wouldn't be active.
No, they are.
Oh, well, let's turn on the radio. Now here's fantasy music.
No, so you start switching through. You actually hear Giron's show for a second.
Hey,
we're not listening to this one.
Oh, okay.
This is some fantasy NPR.
Yeah. You just so you're driving along. You turn on the radio, and then it starts kind of jarbling for a little bit. Kind of like taps at it, he turns up the volume a bit, turns down the volume a bit, turns the volume back up a bit, and it's like, huh, that's weird, we just lost. And then you just hear blasting through the radio, very low quality right now, but just blaring guitars. He just turns it down again. Oh, I think we're getting close. Oh, jeez, I think we're getting close. Where this is one of their close? Stations.
Oh boy.
But yeah, this. You do hear, you know, the song kind of fades out. And you hear a guy just go, "All right, next person to call in gets to pick the next rotation." You kind of hear
next rotation.
All right. All right.
Do we have a CB broadcaster in here?
What?
Well, I mean, we've got the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all radios broadcast.
What's the number? What's the frequency?
They aren't saying it. No.
Damn it. Wanted to call in.
All right. Looks like the Flash is ordering up some metal. Let's go. Click. And then you just hear, you know, just blaring guitars. Incredibly loud, incredibly fast. He turns it down. Yeah, that's one of their stations. I don't think we're going to get much else.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
You like that?
It's got a feel to it.
All right.
Just keep that quiet.
Okay, here. You turn it up a bit. And you occasionally hear some interludes, but it doesn't look like they're being very professional about it or anything. They're just calling out, you know, the DJ is just calling out for people to make requests. They aren't getting aired or anything, and then they call out a random call sign like The Flash or like Rock Climber or Dragon Breath. And Giron would know that these are the call signs for the various trains.
Hmm.
Each train crew has a call sign. So on their local network, like on their local radio network, they just know the frequency to dial in at. To make these requests. No.
Everybody's trying to call in to make a request. This is not gonna happen, boys.
I want you to play that song that goes beep beep boop boop bop boop boop beep.
Oh, I think you mean beep boop boop bop bop beep boop beep.
Beep boop boop bop
beep boop. Be-boo-ba.
Shut the fuck up.
Theater of the mind.